Good morning. We welcome you in to a Thursday edition of My Car Guru with the car guru, Lenny Lawson.
On the road.
You're on the road.
I'm on the road.
How are you doing this?
I'm driving to Amelia Island.
Man, it sounds awful good.
It is. The sound quality is amazing.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're here.
I am doing the speed limit, though.
Well, good.
I have my headset on, talking to you, going through Columbia, South Carolina right now. Not really.
Just be careful.
Not really.
No, he's not really doing that.
I wouldn't do a radio show and drive at the same time. That could be called distracted driving.
I believe it could.
Yeah. I have done it before, though. You remember that time I was late getting up here, and the show was starting, so I just called in on my cell phone, and then we went to the first break, and then I transitioned, ran into the studio, sat down, and boom, here we were.
Yeah,
do it. We adapt. Yeah. You know, you just have to be adaptable, flexible. Well, I'm not flexible anymore. I have a hard time putting my socks on anymore. So I'm flexible in some ways, but
let me
not
tell you
in
about that right now.
Yeah, I bet so, with your bad back. Yeah, so anyway, I had to decide whether I'm going to go comfortable or cool. You know, sometimes we have to pick comfortable or cool.
Like you're talking about cool as in temperature cool, not cool as in cool man.
No, I mean cool man.
Oh, okay.
You know?
I thought you meant temperature.
So we were talking about early in the week, you and I were kind of debating what was I going to drive to one of the biggest car shows in the world. You know, where you're driving up and down the beach or along the beach, and, you know, you're going past all these fancy cars, and you're driving a Malibu Classic. You know, I just didn't want to really do that. So you want to drive something cool, right?
I would imagine there's not too many Yugos cruising up and down through
there. No, you don't see many Yugos. You see a lot of Porsche 356s and Lamborghinis. I mean, you'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden, $1 million McLaren will just drive down. You're walking along, and here comes a Ferrari, and you know, here comes a vintage Mercedes-Benz, a Gullwing Mercedes that's worth like $3 mil. You know, and you're thinking, okay, this is, I don't want them to see my Malibu Classic, you know, parked at the condo. You know what a Malibu Classic is?
Yes.
You know, Malibu Classic, you know, Chevrolet made the Malibu. And so they had all these extra parts, and they were going to discontinue, but the rental car companies say, hey, if you'll build, keep building these Malibus, we'll keep buying them and using them at the airports and stuff because we need cheap cars to buy. So
we
they renamed it.
Yeah, we rented a Malibu Classic one time. And drove it to Hilton Head.
You're not bragging, are you?
No, we're just, I'm just telling you. So full disclosure.
You know, so they took a Malibu, and the only thing they did, they changed, the only thing they changed is they, right under the Malibu, they wrote the word classic.
Classic.
And so they continued making it for like a couple model years, and the rental car companies, you know, the travel industry and everything was just booming back at the time. So they were sucking up these Malibu Classics like they're going out of style. And then they would keep them in service for about 90 days, and they become program cars, right? And so they turn right around, and they bought 30,000 Malibu Classics. And then they turn around and flood them back into these car auctions, and dealers are buying them for, you know, 40 cents on the dollar. And these poor folks that came in and bought the Malibu Classic retail because they thought it was a special vehicle. Honey, this is a classic. It's a Malibu, but it's a classic. And they came in and bought that thing, and they financed it for 84 months at 14%, and then tried to trade it in 3 years, and they're, you know, they're $15,000 upside down. And they say, well, what happened? I didn't know cars depreciated like this. You know, same thing has happened. Rental car companies really screw up the car market. If you want to know why cars depreciate, blame it on Hertz, Avis, National, and Enterprise. Because that's why. That's why cars depreciate as fast as they do.
Yeah.
And because these manufacturers, they have these huge plants, and they've got to keep production up. And when retail demand starts to slide, guess what? They go knocking on the doors of Hertz, Enterprise, Avis, National, Budget, and they say, okay, we want you to buy all these cars, and what we'll do is we'll buy them back in 90 days. You keep them in service. We'll buy them back in 90 days, and then we'll run them through Manheim Auction. We'll sell them to our dealers because they need used cars. And so, you know, the law of supply and demand. Now, the opposite is happening right now. Rental car companies in general, they have huge fleets. They're known to buy when prices fall and sell when prices rise, mm-hmm. right? That makes mm-hmm. sense. But instead of unloading their fleets to make a decent profit, with prices currently soaring, rental car companies have been scouring the country for additional vehicles while holding on to the current ones longer. So what we would see, Tim, is we would go to the auction, these program car sales, and they were restricted. Like, I can only, if I'm a Ford dealer, I can only go to the Ford sale.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a GM dealer, I can only buy at the GM sale. It's mm-hmm. at the same sale, same day, but it's a different lane mm-hmm. at the auction.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were seeing cars with like 8,000 miles on them,
mm-hmm.
15,000 miles. Very rarely would you see something with over 20,000 miles. Now, I got a list from Hertz the other day for a bunch of cars that they're selling. I mean, most of the cars have 50, 60,000 miles on them.
Wow. Used to, you'd never see that on a rental car.
And so now, when I go to the auction, I look at who I'm bidding against on the screen. You know, typically you can do this from the dealership. I can, you know, mm-hmm. go to the auction without being there. Actually see the lane. I'm buying cars that are, you know, passing before my eyes on the screen. And now I'm bidding against Hertz. See, before it was always Hertz that was selling the cars and Avis and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now I'm bidding against them because you know what they're doing? They can't get new cars now, so they're buying mm-hmm. low-mileage used cars. What's that doing to the value of everybody's used cars?
Mm-hmm.
It's going up.
Absolutely.
So good for you, folks.
Yeah.
Your cars are worth more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this weekend, I'm going to find out how much collector cars are worth and what the collector car market is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Amelia Island Concours is a car show on Sunday. I mean, it's unlike anything that most people have ever seen, unless you're really, mm-hmm. really into cars. And I mean, it's not like going to Elizabethan. And, you know, not that there's anything wrong with the cars that go to Elizabethan. I mean, they're a bunch of, you know, cars from the 50s. And, you know, some of them are very valuable,
mm-hmm.
but not like these cars.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the rarest of the rare cars that they're pulling out of a museum to take to Amelia Island.
Yeah, or usually you don't see $1 million car on the street in Elizabethan.
No. Listen, I was... I'm walking past this Ferrari, and I look at the card. It has a description card in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular car that I'm looking at belongs to Ralph Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Ferrari GTO, and it's worth about $70 million. And it's right out there on the grass, you know, and I could lean against it and get my picture taken if I want to, but I've got more sense than that.
I would be afraid to haul something like that something would go wrong, you know?
You know, there's only 27 or 23 Ferrari GTOs in the world.
Yeah.
And... 15 years ago, or 12 years ago, when I went to my first Amelia Island Concours, those cars were swapping hands in the 20 million range.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're up to 70. But, you know, it's funny how, you know, you've got 27 cars, and everybody owns them right now, and next year, different people will own them. They buy them, and they're too valuable to drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just buy them and say, okay, I own a GTO, not a Pontiac GTO, a 250 GTO Ferrari.
So when you're driving your Malibu Classic down the road, you're probably not going to encounter that GTO.
You know, I'm enjoying all of the plastic, the simulated wood grain, the faux leather. You know, I've got the grip of that plastic steering wheel with the classic, you know, written. I'm just experiencing Americanism. Right there,
mm-hmm.
you know, going down the road, and I don't feel special in my Malibu Classic. You won't see a Malibu Classic at the Concours d'Elegance. No, but anyway, so what's going to happen is there's 1, 2, 3, 4. I think there's either 4 or 5 auctions going on
mm-hmm.
this weekend, and so I'll attend probably 3 of them, and I sit in the cheap seats. You know, where we can get the free orange juice and stuff like that, free Cokes, and all the rich people are sitting up towards the front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you try to go up there and say, sir, you don't have the right pass. Oh, sorry. You know, so I go back and sit in the bleachers, and those people get padded white leather chairs.
Sure they do.
You know, and they're bidding. It's not like a really fast auction. I mean, when you're selling a car for $6 million, mm-hmm. okay, you don't really talk real fast. You know, like an auctioneer does. It's
right.
not like going to the car auction, you know, where I go to and they'll sell they'll sell 10 cars in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Literally. They pull that car up and you got enough time to look at it to see, you know, if it's got taillights or not, and then it's gone. You're supposed to have looked at the car earlier.
Mm-hmm.
At this auction, it's pulled up. It's in this, all the details about her in this big thick book that you have to pay $70 to get.
Mm.
And then you just sit there and you can read about the cars, and there it is up there on a beautiful stage with curtains and stuff, and there's pictures, and then over on the left hand side, you know, they got rotating pictures on these big screens of, about the car, showing the inside and stuff, because it's just sitting up on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the left side, it has what the current bid is in multiple different currency evaluations. So you have dollars, you know, you have rubles, you know, I guess. Yeah. Well, I don't think they have pesos, but they have, you know, francs and
Dutch marks
and Deutschmarks. And there's a, what's the British currency now?
Oh, the euro.
Pound.
Well, yeah, but it's British.
Yeah, in pounds.
Yeah.
And so, and then you got this guy, David Gooding, is typically up on the stage, and he's sitting right beside this just brilliant auctioneer. He's an English guy. And he just cuts up and interacts with the, you know, I was down there one day, and Jerry Seinfeld was there, and he was on like the front row, and he was selling a collection of like 30 of his vehicles. And, you know, I think I talked about this several years ago. The only car that I saw that he had that I could afford was a Volkswagen Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I told my brother, I said, I'm going to bid on this thing. You know, I jumped off at $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
It brought $110,000. This was a 62 Volkswagen Beetle with 54,000 original miles on it. In any catalog, in any price world, reasonable world, it would be worth $25,000
to $30,000
max.
But because it was Seinfeld's.
Seinfeld brought 110. I remember when it hit 100, he stood up, turned around, and was clapping, you know, to the audience, you know, because it pierced the $100 level.
Mm-hmm. 100,000.
I'm sorry.
It wasn't even a split window from back in the 50s or anything, was it?
But he bought a Sunoco race car. It's a McLaren, I believe. Very famous Can-Am race car.
Mm-hmm.
And he had purchased it a couple years before. And he paid $4 million for it, and he brought it back and lost money on it when he brought it back. But yeah, what's a few mil here and there?
Sure, he runs across that changing pants.
He does.
Probably. Well, let's take our first break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
All right, we're back here on My Car Guru for Thursday, discussing running across money just to buy cars and people that can afford to do that, and Malibu Classics, and just all kinds of good stuff.
Classic cars. The Gooding auction is my favorite. They do it at the tennis center at Amelia Island, and they have all these huge white tents set up over top of the tennis courts.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you feel like you're in a building. I mean, it's very elaborate. I mean, to call it a tent is kind of an understatement.
Must be a lot of tennis courts.
Yeah, it's carpeted. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got all these carpet laid out and these chairs and, you know, big, just a really, the ceiling's probably 50 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And just a big open air auditorium is what it looks like. And beside it, there's two or three other tents that are all connected, all carpeted, that that the cars that are getting ready to be sold are all parked in. So you get to review the cars and walk around, and you'll see some really cool stuff in there. You know, and they'll sell cars that you know, that will bring $15,000. You know, I mean, they might have an old Fiat or, you know, something. I've never seen a Corvair go through the Gooding auction.
Mm-hmm.
But now there are some Corvairs that are worth a lot of money, like a Yanko. You ever heard of a Yanko?
Mm-hmm.
Camaro?
Mm-hmm.
And different things? So they actually, those will bring some big money. But usually you will see higher-end cars, a lot of Porsches, a lot of Ferraris, and Maseratis, Lamborghinis. One of the things I really like to do is go on test drives. Now, right in front of the Ritz-Carlton, there will be a Jaguar tent, a Porsche tent, or a stand. It's kind of a tent and a, you know, they have a front counter. It looks kind of like a miniature dealership.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have a Jaguar, Ferrari, or Porsche, not Ferrari, Porsche, Lamborghini, and BMW was what they had last year. And Alfa Romeo. They had an Alfa Romeo stand. So they have these cars. If you go there and get there early, you write your name on the list, you get to drive those cars. I'm going to try to get there early. I want to drive a Lamborghini. I've never driven one of those.
Yeah.
If I can get in it. I have to fold myself in two. I might need some help.
Maybe your brother can help you.
Probably more help getting out of it. Because you can kind of fall into a car.
Yeah, that's true. It's harder to get out of some of them.
It hurts when you land, though. I've been lately falling into that 911 that I have. And, you know, if you're not careful, you can bruise something. Mm-hmm. You know, if you let loose too soon and the falling distance is too far. But watching these, getting to test drive some of these cars is really cool. Now, another aspect of that is they hire famous professional race car drivers that to go with you, so they don't just turn you loose in a Ferrari. I mean, a Lamborghini Aventador. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, we're talking about a. I'm not sure how much that particular car is. I think it's, you know, $500,000 or something like that. But they won't turn you loose in that car. Mm-hmm. They'll let you get in the driver's seat, and sitting beside you will be somebody with a Lamborghini logo on their shirt and a Lamborghini hat. Well, my brother jumped into Jaguar one time. They had this two-door Jaguar. It's their sports car or whatever. And he looked over. He said, are you Davy Jones? My brother did. He said, yeah, yeah. He said, you won the Indianapolis 500. He said, yeah, yeah, I'm a race car driver. Hmm. So Wendell knew this guy, got to know him, and he drove down the road with an Indianapolis 500 race car driver sitting beside him. Every single one of those companies has famous people going with you.
Yeah, that's not the Davy Jones of the Monkees, by the way.
No, he retired from the Monkees and immediately started driving race cars. Now, Davy Jones is probably 107 at this point.
From the Monkees?
Yeah.
He actually passed away.
Oh, he did? Okay, well, I'm sorry.
He was the first Monkey to pass away, I think.
Was he?
Yeah. Yep, think so.
Okay, now I'm depressed.
Well, that's all right.
I was doing so good. You just threw me completely off my kilter. But I'm excited about driving these cars. And then the other thing is the Vendor Village. And the Vendor Village is where you can leave some money down there with stuff where you don't have to buy a Ferrari, but you can buy a picture of one. Or you can buy a book from one. Now, I was able to buy a painting down there one time. Had no idea I was going to buy a painting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need a painting, but I walked into this particular room, and it really was a great experience, and I'll tell you about it here in just a minute.
All right, we're back here, My Car Guru, our final portion for a Thursday morning, and I was going to ask you, you were talking about the Vendor Village.
Yes.
Down at the car show on Amelia Island.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you if they had any antiques, because you mentioned different things, but you said you bought a painting.
What do you call it? Petrolania, or what is it?
Petroliana.
Petroliana.
Yeah.
I knew I'd mispronounce it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's gas pumps.
There you go.
Signs.
There you go.
Like hood ornaments,
you
know, key tags, leather-bound books about particular... I mean, it is nuts, and a lot of that stuff is fairly affordable. Now, I walked into the artist studio, which was a big section in the, or a big room in the Ritz-Carlton.
Mm-hmm.
And this was several years ago. And I walked in, and immediately I saw this beautiful red picture or painting. And it was a race car driver with a white helmet on in a red car. And it was just, it looked like a photograph. And so and it's big. I mean, it's like, you know, 36 inches wide, probably 20, maybe even 30. I don't even know. It's a big painting. Mm-hmm. I actually have it over my desk in my office now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just walked up closer. I got to it. I said, gosh, that is a painting, you know. And then I get close to it. And I look down beside me, and there's this older gentleman sitting there. And I said, that is just gorgeous. He said, yeah, well, these are all my paintings here. And I looked at him, and he said, I said, you painted that? And he said, yeah. His name is Bill Neal, and he was one of Carol Shelby's best friends. And he had painted all those pictures. A lot of them were of Shelby, and in different scenarios, Mustangs, Cobras, and stuff. And I said, oh, my gosh, this is wonderful. I'd love to buy that. How much is it? And he told me, and my heart sank. He said, are you a car dealer? I said, yeah, I'm a Mazda dealer. He said, well, Mazda sponsors this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll give you a deal. So this guy was an artist, you know, and just an amazing artist. And he was, matter of fact, some of the old car magazines that I have, Road and Track, I think it was Road and Track or Car and Driver, Bill Neal is the contributing artist in there, and he did a lot of the illustrations, you know, in the magazine. So he's been around a long time, and that painting is one of my most treasured possessions.
So it's an original; it's not a copy, right?
No, it's the real deal.
And he signed it, I suppose.
He signed it, but he also sent me the. I said, how do you do that? Do you just start painting, you know, get a white canvas? He said, no, I always do drawings first. Mm-hmm. I said, well, do you ever keep those drawings? He said, yeah, I always keep the drawings. I said, would you, maybe when you get back, would you have an opportunity to maybe send those to me? I'd love to have them. He said, absolutely. I'll be glad to send those to you. So I'm showing Tim the actual, painting, and then these are the drawings that he sent me.
Wow!
And so I framed those, and that's also in my office. But that was just a thrill.
That's a heck of a package to have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. It wouldn't be worth anything to the average person listening to this radio show, but it is priceless to me. And somebody will have to dispose of that after I'm gone. That'll be somebody else's problem. That's one of those things that, along with my Martin guitar, that. You know, I'm going to will it to somebody.
Okay.
They'll probably put it in a yard sale.
Well, let me know if they put it in a yard sale. I'll be the first one in line.
Okay.
And I'll get it. Of course, I may go before you. You just never know.
You never know.
And that signal right there means it's time to end this edition of my career.
Yeah, somebody called me from Colorado Springs, Colorado. So we won't get that. We won't take that one.
All right.
We're driving.
That's all for today. We will talk to you tomorrow on My Car Guru.